I'd like to begin with a little story from Jewish literature. There's a man named Jeremiah who one day saw a poor man walking along the street near his home, and he invited this poor man into his home for a meal. You could tell he was destitute. And they sat down to eat, and Jeremiah started with a prayer. And as he started to invoke God's name, this poor man reviled the name of God and cursed it. He said he couldn't bear to hear the name of God. Well, this upset Jeremiah greatly, so he threw the man out of his home. Well, that night, as he was getting ready to go to sleep, he was saying his evening prayers, and in his soul, he heard the voice of God say to him, "Jeremiah, that man has cursed and reviled my name for 50 years, and yet every day I have given him food to eat. Could you not have put up with him for at least one day?" That little story communicates that when it comes to patience, when it comes to forbearance, God outdistances us quite a bit. Jesus' own disciples, sometimes they had a hard time understanding why Jesus would choose to rub shoulders with notorious sinners, people they thought were really outside of God's saving reach. And so Jesus shared parables in order to illustrate some truth about the kingdom of God. And today we heard I'd like to focus on the parable of the weeds and the wheat. This kind of connects with that opening story there a little bit, and also with our lives. You know, Jesus' time, when they planted a crop of wheat and the shoots started to come up through the ground, there was a type of weed in that part of the world that looked just like the wheat plant. And so, obviously, you wouldn't want to take up the wheat. And so in the story, it says, let it grow. Because there'll come a time in the life of that wheat plant and the weeds where the wheat outdistances the weed, and then you can separate them. What Jesus uses is this image to talk about the problem of evil in the world. And here's how I hear it sometimes. People will say to me, you know, these terrorists, these murderers, these drug dealers, why doesn't God just annihilate them now? Why does he let them, you know, wreck our world? And, or it might be, someone will say, you know, my mom died at such a young age, or my brother passed away relatively young, and why does God allow that to happen? And it seems like some of these people who really do bad things in the world seem to prosper. It just doesn't seem fair or just. And so when Jesus shares this parable of the weeds and the wheat, we don't have all the answers on why things are the way they are. But I think one of the things it communicates is that on this side of heaven, God is always going to give people an opportunity to repent, for conversion, and for change. And God really doesn't desire for anyone to be separated from him for all eternity. But at the end of the gospel, you hear there will be an accounting. Well, God is patient and kind and merciful. He's also a just God. And in the end, we will have to give an accounting of our lives. And if someone chooses to be a wheat or weed all the way to the end, you know, God will respect that freedom. But God wants all people to be saved, but he's not going to force us. And so at the end, we all come before the judgment seat of God. You know, God desires to bring us home to him, but he also lets someone be separated if they choose that direction. So God doesn't really send people to help people choose that direction. And God will affirm that in light of their freedom. You think of some of the great saints in our tradition. At one time in their lives, they were pretty weedy. You think of a Saint Augustine. You know, when he was in his late adolescence into his young adult years, he was a lost soul. And going down some dead-end paths, he did some really bad things. And probably in hindsight, he would say, you know, in this parable, the weeds and the wheat, I was really more a weed. But conversion happened, change, a new direction, and he would go on to do great things with the gifts God gave him. You know, for you and for me, some of us here who maybe are a little farther down the road, maybe there was a time in your younger days where rather than wheat, it was more weeds. And God in his mercy and his love, it touched your heart, it touched my heart. You know, I had some interesting years in my youth. And, you know, God gives those opportunities, so many opportunities for us to change and to grow. When you hear a parable like this, it's not just about those people out there. It's also about you and me. And if we look honestly at our lives, it is a case of weeds and wheat. You could also say it's virtues and vices. And as we grow in our faith in God, what's going to happen is those virtues are going to grow. Virtues like kindness and compassion and generosity and wisdom, humility, courage, perseverance. There's lots of virtues. They're going to grow, and our lives are going to bear good fruit. But we also have some vices, some weeds to deal with, don't we? Each one of us here. And maybe we struggle with patience. You know, there's the seven deadly sins. They're still alive and well in our world. Spiritual pride, anger, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, laziness. And if we look at our lives, there's probably at least one of those we do battle with. Maybe there's more. Maybe you've invented some new ones. I mean, and you ever notice that when you get something taken care of in your life, you know, I finally got this tackled. You know, I'm not struggling with this anymore. All of a sudden, another weed starts to grow. You know, it's like, you know, that's where humility is so important, because, you know, humility is really about honesty. You know, if we're really honest, God's mercy and forgiveness, it's bigger than our sins. But we got to be honest, and we have to be humble. Sometimes people will say to me that is there ever going to come a time in my life where I've got it all together, where I no longer have it? It seems like when I go to confession, I'm confessing the same sins, and I wonder if I'm making progress. Will there be that day when I no longer have to struggle with this particular sin or sins? And being the person of hope and encouragement that I am, you know, I will usually say to them, you're going to have it all together about 5 minutes after you're deceased. And actually, I don't say that. But in a way I do, because on this side of heaven, I have no problem at all with the doctrine of purgatory, because most of us, we're going to die with, you know, we're going to still have some weediness we're dealing with. And, you know, God gives us that opportunity for purification to come into the glory, His glory. But if we're really humble, we know, and that's why the saints, you know, so humble, because they realize it's ultimately God's grace and His mercy. And God can actually even work through some of those sins to bring us to greater sanctity, because He can turn what is bad into something that is good for His glory. And so as we gather today and we receive the Eucharist, we look out there on the world and we might wonder, why does God allow this to go on? Because there's some bad stuff. And think of the parable of the weeds and the wheat. You know, he's going to be gracious in terms of those opportunities for repentance. But there will come that time of accounting before the judgment seat of God for everyone. And we look at our own lives, we all need that mercy. And what happens is we avail ourselves to that and that grace. We become more virtuous for God's glory, for the good of the world, to help others. So as we receive the Eucharist today, may the Lord's presence grow in our lives, that our lives can continue to bear good fruit for our gracious God.